Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very accomplished woman leader from Texas, USA, Professor Ona Miller. Professor Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. Professor Miller is the president of the Global Female Civility Leadership Institute. She's also the founder of the National Female Civility Day. So, Professor Miller, let's talk first about the Global Female Civility Leadership Institute. Okay. Tell me about the institute and your motivation to start it.
The Global Female Civility Leadership Institute is an online platform. It is accredited. The curriculum was specifically designed for females and those in leadership, but it also is a multi-generational curriculum as well.
Right.
Because we don't want to leave anyone out.
Right.
But it's designed to address those internal and external barriers that females, you know, we so often encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So the curriculum helps, you know, provide, you know, female civility, female leadership, just all those different kind of strategies and structures to help them overcome and to help them, you know, advance. And then their lives are enhanced as well. So they can reach out to others.
Wonderful. And, you know, you talk about supporting a lot of females. What are some of the challenges that you address for them or help them manage?
Well, the most challenge that I address and help them manage is self-leadership.
Okay.
I think in order for us to be able to impact the lives of others, we first have to be accountable and responsible for our own lives.
Correct.
That allows us to be that example. You know, there's so many that we may never actually sit down and have a conversation with, but they're able to look at our lives and our presence, you know, how we show up every day. What are we doing? What are our beliefs? And so when we are that example, then we can impact others. Sometimes we're impacting others and we don't even realize it, you know? So it's basically just helping them with self-leadership. And once you get that self-leadership in line, everything else falls into place.
And for my young viewers and listeners, help me understand, Professor Miller, what is the meaning of self-leadership? I mean, it also includes a lot of self-discipline.
Oh, absolutely. Self-leadership, you know, it's saying, okay, I'm looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assessing me
to
see the areas that I need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
What areas do I need to grow in? You know, getting into that training that I need to get into, taking, you know, responsibility for my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors, you know, taking responsibility for my relationships, you know, who am I connected to, you know, what am I doing every day to better myself? Because if I better myself, I better my family. I better my community. I better the world, the nation, any engagements that I'm having with those relationships. Self-leadership says that I'm in that relationship not only to take, but I can also be a giver in those relationships. So that's what self-leadership is about.
Well said. You know, it's often said in India, and I'm sure in the world, that if you educate a woman, you educate a family.
Absolutely. And that is so true.
Well said. So my next question to you is, you know, on culture. And culture has a very significant impact on both civility and leadership.
Absolutely.
I'd love to get your perspective on how are you handling the aspects of culture.
You know, I think it's very important for us to accept people exactly where they are. There is so much to learn from one another. And I can just say, dealing with women from all over the world, getting to know their culture, I think sometimes where we mess up is we start trying to point out the things that are not alike, that are different, that don't necessarily align with what we've been taught or what is happening in our culture. When we really need to sit down and say, hey, that's just like, you know, what we're going, you know, through, or that's just like what has happened in my family. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it. How can we relate? Mm-hmm. What can I learn from you? You know, maybe you can give me some strategies and stuff on how you handle it in your culture. And let me bring that back to my culture. You know, I think culture is just so important. And I think sometimes we overlook that when we need to be embracing that.
You know, there's a very famous line from the management guru, Peter Drucker, who said, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
I love that. Oh, my
God. Very, very old line. And as you were speaking, I just remembered it. I started it 42 years ago in business school, you know, and it just came to my mind right now.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love that. Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
That's how important culture is, according to Peter Drucker.
Oh, so, absolutely.
So moving on, let's talk a little bit about leadership now.
Okay.
Gender inequality and women empowerment is a challenge all over the world.
Yes,
based on the work that you're doing through the Global Civility, Female Civility Leadership Institute, what are some of the key challenges women face?
Well, I think some of the key challenges, first of all, is just dealing with our own internal barriers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, and sometimes we just finished talking about culture, sometimes that comes from culture.
Correct.
You know, limiting ourselves to what we do believe and what we have experienced. So I think a lot of that is the internal barriers, because those are the things that we can control.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the external barriers, we have no control over. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that we can control is all of the internal barriers, you know, the things that we've gone through. And I think the challenge is us sitting down and literally evaluating where we are.
Mm-hmm.
As women, and as females around the world, when I talk to them, when I teach them, when I coach them and mentor them, the issue is that we don't want to sit down and really face some of the things that we're dealing with, really come to the realization of how it actually affects us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will hide it. We will suppress it. You know, we'll try to pretend like it didn't happen, or we'll try to pretend like it doesn't really bother us. Mm-hmm. And we've always been taught to deal with it, but keep moving. You know, don't stop. Don't, you know, take a pause. Don't take a, you know. So I think the greatest challenge is that we have to face, you know, how we're feeling and deal with it, because those feelings affect our behaviors. They affect our decisions. They affect, you know, how we relate to others. And so if we don't deal with that, those internal barriers, that is the greatest challenge, because we like to hide and we like to point the finger instead of dealing with ourselves and looking in the mirror.
And based again on all the people you speak to around the world, are some parts of the world beginning to change a little faster than others? Because the imbalance continues. And I've often wondered why half the world needs to be imbalanced.
I think it is a slow progression.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is just really grasping the change.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't like change. And when you talk about culture, when you talk about tradition, you don't really want to bulk up against that. You don't really want to war with it. It's more comfortable to just stay the same. It's more comfortable not to question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with time, I think we're slowly progressing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some areas it is progressing a little faster. Mm-hmm. And I think it's doing that just because of the age group that we talked about earlier, those millennials, you know, a lot of things that we would probably, you know, say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it's no big deal. They're just like, no, this is a big deal.
Correct.
And so I think, you know, that age group, you know, those Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, they're bringing a whole new perspective, which we can learn so much from them as well.
Well said, well said. And, you know, there are these biases, there are imbalances, there are differences.
Mm-hmm.
What, in your view, are some of the steps society can take to at least start the process of mitigating this imbalance?
You know, I think first of all, we need to just get rid of all of these categories.
Correct.
You know, all of these, socioeconomic categories, you know, statuses, you know, percentages, statistics. I think we need to start reflecting on the fact that, hey, that person is a human being, just like this person is a human being. And we're all humans, you know. I think that's where we need to start instead of just saying, hey, that's male, that's female. You know, that's Puerto Rican or Asian or Indian or African. How about we're just human beings, you know? We all have a heart, you know, we all know pain, we know love, we know hate. You know, we all have our experiences. And I think our experience together is so powerful if we would just come together and accept one another and unite. So yeah, I think society can help that way. Just eliminating all these different categories and stuff that we try to put people in, you know, and I think it limits us. And I think it also limits those who are higher up, say maybe in government or in those leadership positions, you know, just trying to put people in categories. How about we all just learn from each other? Because as a leader, that's what we should be doing. We should be learning from those who we're leading.
Well said. What a great response. Stop, you know, dividing society into silos and look at all of us as human beings. Well said.
Absolutely.
So, Professor Miller, one more question relating to imbalances and differences. What is the role, you know, and I'm talking from the perspective of the developing world. What is the role elders and their own thinking play in telling a lot of the human beings that, listen, this is for you and this is not for you?
Oh my goodness, that is such a good question. I think all of us have dealt with that in our families. And let me just say, I love our elders. Their wisdom is unmatched. To hear their experiences, that is unmatched and unparalleled. But our elders, I think too, sometimes could learn so much from these, you know, the next generation. And I actually think that each generation should put a hand in learning from the next generation. I think sometimes we get so involved in, you know, no, I'm going to train the next generation, just like my mother trained me and my father trained me. And it's going to be just like this. And we're going to carry it on. And this is going to be our legacy. I think sometimes we get so involved in that to we forget to say, you know what? What can I learn from the generation that's coming so that I, as an elder, can be relevant and keep teaching the generation?
Well said. And, you know, I have a very young team of people who work with me. And I always tell them, I said, you reverse mentor me in areas that I'm not even aware about. For example, technology.
Yes.
You're so right.
Yes.
Well said. So, Professor Miller, now let's talk a little bit about the National Female Civility Day.
Yes.
You are the founder. Tell me about what you have founded and what was your motivation?
Well, National Female Civility Day is September the 17th of every year. And it is to celebrate every female, no matter, you know, the location, no matter the age, no matter the race, you know, no matter what, we're just celebrating females, whether they were just born that day, you know, or we're just celebrating females to say, hey, we support you. We appreciate you. We're glad that you're here. You know, you're important to the world. We need you. That's what National Female Civility Day is about. And it's also about females coming together, multi-generational, intercultural, you know, with all of our traditions, intergovernmental, you know, on every level to say, let's work together. Let's be civil together. Let's love each other. Let's understand each other. Let's start relationships. Let's build and let's break those barriers and then build those bridges. And that's what National Female Civility Day is all about.
And do you have a lot of activity on the 17th of September and across the world?
I do. I try to blow it up all on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the social media platforms. Mm-hmm. I think last year, I actually, from the Global Female Civility Leadership Institute, we honored Dr. Basma Ali, mm-hmm. Who is a referee. She is very skilled and her experience is vast. Mm-hmm. In helping refugees. Mm. That is what she loves to do. And it is something that is greatly needed. So we honored her with an honorary doctorate.
Wow.
So that's what we did last year. And this year, we haven't really made a decision on what we're going to do, but we always celebrate that day.
Fantastic.
Very big. Yeah.
Well, if you like, if you ask your office to reach out to us, we will promote whatever you are doing.
Across our
platforms
you.
As well. So pretty happy to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Professor Miller, like, moving on, you know, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So I've got three or four questions for you that I call personal questions.
Okay, sure. So no problem.
My first question to you is, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
I would say the first one would be love. Mm-hmm. Love is one of the greatest milestones that I think we could ever experience. Mm-hmm. And when I say experience, I think as in giving it away, mm-hmm. Because we need so much more love. I think the next one would be just life, you mm-hmm. know, just living life to the fullest, mm-hmm. being appreciative of life. Mm-hmm. And then I would say absolutely the last one would be legacy.
Okay.
You know, what are we living now? Not once we are gone, but living our legacy now so that when we are gone, our legacy is living, you know, just on its own. It's still impacting lives. Mm. So those are my three milestones. It's love, life, and legacy.
The three L's. Very nice.
Yes.
My next question to you is that for someone who is supporting women across the world and doing such amazing work, what would you say are three core values that you believe in?
My core values that I believe in, number one is going to be excellence. Mm-hmm. I think everything we do should be in excellence because we are representing, you know, the world. We're representing ourselves, our family, our communities. I think everything should be done in excellence. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would say integrity. Mm-hmm. I think integrity is so valuable, so important. Integrity itself teaches lessons all by itself. Right. And then number three, I would have to say would be purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, we all need to be trying to figure out what our purpose is and what our purposes are. Because when we're in place and aligned with our purpose, then we are affecting, you know, the people that we need to affect. You know, we're interacting with the people that we need to interact in, and we're living a life of fulfillment. Mm. So those would be my three: excellence, integrity, and purpose.
Amazing. Thank you. So I've got time for a couple of more questions, or maybe three more questions.
Sure.
My next question is that as you look back at a successful career, a successful life, what does success mean to Professor Miller?
Well, you know what? Success to me means executing your purpose.
Okay.
You know, and the reason why I say that is I can remember growing up and in the classroom, they ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody says, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. You know, I want to be, you know, an astronaut. You know, we go through all of that, but nobody ever stops to say, I want to do my purpose. Mm. You know, I want to figure out what my purpose is so that every day of my life, I'm living fulfilled. Mm. I don't think we actually understand or actually engage with fulfillment until we actually are living and walking and knowing our purpose. So I would say success for me is executing your purpose.
Wonderful. And a follow-up question from success is who or what inspires you?
I would say what inspires me is the ability to go beyond this generation into the next generation. Mm-hmm. I think that's what inspires me when I look at a young, you know, girl who is looking up to someone, or she's looking up with, you know, her eyes in hopefulness. Mm-hmm. I think that's what inspires me is when you see their mind's clicking because of something that you said, and their eyes are just bright, you know, full of hope and adventure. I think to me, that is what inspires me, you know, just seeing that yearning to learn more, that yearning to grow and to be better and to do better.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, and this is for the very large number of people who listen to our conversation.
Okay.
What would your advice be, Professor Miller, to young women leaders starting off on their journey?
So my advice to them would be, first and foremost, always be honest with yourself. And I think that falls in line with self-leadership. I think a lot of times we're more honest with others than we are ourselves. My second one would be never to alter your identity. I think we alter ourselves and our identity, our thought process, and our behaviors according to how we think we can fit in. My next one is get a mentor to help you and to guide you and to give you wisdom and advice. I think we all need a mentor. I have quite a few in different areas of my life because they have that expertise that they've already been through. And then the next one is, once you get a mentor, be a mentor. You need to be a mentor to, you know, the next generation or those around you. And then I would say, learn all you can. You know, education is priceless. You know, those experiences are priceless. No one can take those away from you. And then I would say, don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, you know, a lot of times we'll keep our hand down. We won't ask questions. We think it's going to be a silly question. Ask all of the questions that you want to ask and however many you want to ask and however long you want to ask. You know, those questions spark, you know, inspiration. They spark insightfulness. So we need to ask all the questions we can. And then I would say, do it even if there's a doubt, you know, in your mind, or if you doubt yourself, or if you're fearful. Do it anyway, you know, because no one can take that experience from you. And then you can use it to teach and mentor someone else. And then I think the last one would be, always believe in yourself, no matter what. If no one else believes in you, you have to believe in you. You have to believe in your dreams. You have to believe in your visions, your missions, and your goals.
Wow. What a powerful set of 8 lessons you have given to young people who will be listening to you. And these lessons, for all our viewers and listeners, not just for women alone, it's for all young people.
Absolutely. What an amazing ceremony. Absolutely.
But on that note, Professor Miller, and on your 3 L's of love, life, and legacy, and your values of excellence, integrity, and purpose, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for speaking to me about the Global Female Civility Leadership Institute, about all the amazing work that you are doing. Thank you for speaking to me about leadership around the world, impact of culture. Thank you for talking to me about the 17th of September, which is National Female Civility Day. And finally, thank you for sharing your deep thoughts about your own journey. Thank you again, and good luck.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.